Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at COTA.com/service changes. That's COTA.com/service changes.
Welcome to the Betting Above the Rim podcast. Today's date, March 27th, episode 41 of today's podcast. In this podcast, with the Sweet 16 coming up Thursday night, the best way to go about it is we're going to break down each of the eight games. I'll kind of give you my coaching take as I see on all the matchups, starting with Clemson, Arizona, followed by San Diego State, UConn, Alabama, North Carolina. And the last game of the night on Thursday night will be Illinois versus Iowa State. When we get to Friday's matchups in a Sweet 16, you're now looking at the first matchup will be NC State versus Marquette, followed by Gonzaga versus Purdue, Duke versus Houston, and Creighton versus Tennessee. And let's get started with the first matchup for Thursday night in the West region, tipping off at 7:09 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And that's the six-seeded Clemson Tigers versus the number two-seeded Arizona Wildcats. And for all the talk that we've had about the Big East, we have to talk about the ACC, folks, and the fact that maybe the ACC didn't get their just due. Maybe take Virginia out of it. But the fact that how well the ACC has performed there. We got to talk about the Clemson Tigers. And what coach has done with this team, you look at this team, it's got to start with the center, right? Hall getting you about 18.5 points per game, 6.4 rebounds, shooting at 32.1% from three. PJ Hall, the 6'10 center out of Spartanburg, is really going to be an intriguing matchup as we talk about who he goes up against on the other side. And then you go to the transfer, Joe Girard, transfer out of Syracuse, the pride of Glens Falls in New York. In about 15.3 points per game and shoots it at 41.4% from three. That is the highest of Joe Girard's career in his last season. And then you got to talk about Chase Hutter, the do everything 6'4 guard who's getting you about 12.7 points per game, shoots about 85% from the free throw line, shoots at about 33% from three. This is a Clemson team, folks, that scores about 77 points per game. And it's really done a great job. If you think about their coach, I mean, how many times has this guy been fired or rumored to be fired? And time after time after time after time, he finds a way to get his team going. And I think that's the amazing thing of what Coach Brad Brunell has done over at Clemson is his team usually plays really, really well inside Little John Fieldhouse. But they have done a remarkable job, particularly towards the end of the season, and this team is rolling as of late. You know, you look at the fact that, they've won, they kind of stumbled. I should say stumbled, not wing a ton out of late. But they did stumble down a stretch, right? They did lose three of the last four games. And arguably the worst loss being a 76-55 loss to BC, but they've straightened themselves out in the NCAA tournament, obviously beating New Mexico 77-56. And then the big win over a Baylor team I thought was going to the Final Four 72-64. And let's look at the team they're facing, the number two seed and the Arizona Wildcats. And Arizona Wildcats is extremely explosive offensively. You're talking about a team that's in the 89th percentile offensively and defensively, right? This team is really good in the spot-up game. you know, shooting the ball in the 83rd percentile, right? They like to run in transition, 83rd percentile. Really good in the pick and roll and underrated in their post-up play. So when you look at a team like Arizona, where do you look, folks? You got to first look at Caleb Love, the transfer from North Carolina, getting you about 18.1 points per game, 4.9 rebounds, 3.5 assists. And Caleb's been absolutely fantastic. But Caleb has his moments, folks. You want to talk about moments? Let's talk about that performance on the 15th versus Oregon in the Pac-12 tournament when he shot 2 of 11 from the floor and only had 6 points and four turnovers. Let's talk about the performance on the 9th versus USC in that 78-65 loss when he shot 1 of 10 from the floor, 0 of 6 from 3. You get where I'm going at, folks. When he does not play well at times, they struggle. So it's going to be a really big task for Caleb Love to what I think be more of an all-around guard and not just a scoring guard and getting other guys involved. One guy I like is a kid, Larson. I really like this kid out of Sweden. Really does it all, getting in about 12.9 points per game, 4.1 rebounds, 3.7 assists, shooting at a 44.1% from three, double figures in his last four games. Larson has been absolutely fantastic. And then there's the big man in the middle, Omar Ballo, one of the biggest, baddest men on the planet. 7 foot center out of Mali, 12.9, 10 rebounds a game. And this guy is an absolute load, but you got to wonder with Omar is they don't get him the ball enough over there with Arizona. So to me, one thing you're going to look at is, can they get Ballo the ball and try to go at Hall a little bit? If I want to take this game, if there's a game that could be an upset, folks, this could be it. Because of how flaky this Arizona team is, and you never know what you're going to get out of them. But to me, this has got to be Arizona's time. They have to find a way to get this winning and move themselves on to the next round. So to me, I still like Arizona minus the points. If you want to look at anything, if you find some props, kind of look at Omar Ballo, maybe getting a double-double. And his matchup versus Hall, I think the Hall-Ballo matchup is going to be key. But give me Arizona minus the points. I'm going to take a chance on him and go ahead and give me Ballo to get a double-double. Let's move on to the next game that will tip off at 7:39 in Boston, each regional semifinals between San Diego State and UConn. A rematch of the national championship game in which UConn dominated. Right now, UConn is a minus 710 on the money line, a 10.5-point favorite versus San Diego State. And if you look at it, folks, San Diego State's had a great year. You know, listen, Coach Brian Dutcher, who's really prided his team on the defensive end of the floor, has done such a great job with this team defensively and how they play and how they get at you. And when you look at them, folks, I mean, you got to start with that guy right there. I mean, let's go back to that one, Matt, and pull up the absolute stud in Ladai, who has really turned his game up, getting you with the transfers out, getting you about 21.5 points per game. And think about the last five games. Going for the most recent, 26-9, 32-8, 25-6, 22-8, 34-16. He has been an absolute monster, Ladai, and he will be a focal point as he is an undersized center, but he's really, really rugged. Then you move on to a guy like Reese Walters, a 6'6 junior out of Long Beach, California, getting you at about 9.8 points per game, 35.1% from three. And Walters, number 14, is really kind of like your do-everything kind of player for them, junkyard dog-ish, gets some points a little bit, rebounds, does a little bit of everything. And this is kind of what you get out of this San Diego State team after Ladai, right? They kind of go in order here with their scoring. Then you got to look at Lamont Butler, the senior guard, getting you 9.4 points per game, steady at the point, doesn't turn the ball over that much. If you think about the last five games, he only has six turnovers, Lamont Butler. But then you look at the fact that he's got, I think, 16 or 17 assists. That's over 3-1 ratio. So I think when you look at them, they are the sum of their parts, right? And they kind of do a little bit of everything. But folks, they're facing the big bad wolf in the UConn Huskies, who has done absolutely a fantastic job, Dan Hurley, of this team, folks. They are balanced, right? So when I talk about synergy, folks, I talk about what we use in a coaching fraternity, right? All the games are loaded on the synergy, and you get your analytics, and you can get clips of teams, right? So when you look at UConn, the first thing that stands out to me as a coach, 99th percentile offensively, 94th percentile defensively. Like, that's scary, folks, that they can dominate you on both sides of the ball. And what has really become devastating for UConn is this wing ball screen action, which honestly, folks, is that they're only, I'm sorry, I shouldn't say only, they're in the 91st percentile at pick and roll coverage, right? Offensively. Well, why did it start? It's got to start with Tristan Newton, first team All-American, unbelievable guard, really good at coming off of that ball screen, Tristan, and really being a threat to do whatever you want. If you want Tristan Newton to come off of that ball screen and shoot that pill, he got you. If you want Tristan Newton to come off of that ball screen and throw it to that big 7'2 monster, Donovan Clingan, he got you. If you want Tristan Newton to come off of that ball screen and you space the floor, right, with Cam Spencer, right, with Alex Caravan, he got you. And then if you want to give it to Newton, come off it, punch it, give it to Castle, let him punch the gap, he's got you. He's really been phenomenal, Tristan Newton, and his elevation of his game to this year. But to me, the big difference with them is when they get Donovan Clingan involved in that ball screen. Donovan Clingan was giving you 12.4 rebounds. Last three games, 14, 19, 22. 14 rebounds, 8 rebounds, 16 rebounds. This is going to be a load for Lede. And this is where UConn can crush you because of that ball screen action. You got that big man diving to the floor, diving. And this guy, Donovan Clingan, is in the 84th percentile at finishing points per possession and being the roller in a pick and roll. So now you got Tristan Newton, a wing ball screen at 75th percentile, right? Then you got Clingan, 84th percentile in regards to how he comes off, right? And then you got to talk about Cam Spencer. 95th percentile in spot-up shooting. 95th percentile. So when you come off the screen and you punch it and you give it to him, he's going to knock it down. And then you got to look at Alex Caravan, right? 83rd percentile. They beat you in waves. Waves. And it's different ways you can do it. UConn is definitely the team that should be favored in this matchup. But I got to admit, folks, I'm a little nervous here because I really think we're looking at a lot of points. And I think that's something you got to think about here is, do you want to lay double-digit points? So I'm going to tell you how I'm going to do this. If I were to bet this game, I would look at the team prop, and I would look at UConn to go over 73.5 points. I think they're going to be able to score. They got way too much that they can do to you offensively. And as good as Brian Dutcher is, they will find a way to get over the hump. So my best bet would be UConn team total over 73.5 points. That's the way I'm going to play it because I can't lie, folks. I'm a little bit nervous about this point spread in this game. So I'm not going to be willing to lay that out there, okay? Now, really quick, I know I'm jumping back. If you can find on FanDuel, right, any kind of prop in regards to Balo getting himself a double-double, that is something that I would be highly interested in because of what I feel like he can do. Now, if you look at his points plus rebound, it's 22.5. So if you can't find that, they may put it out closer to game time. Look at Omar Balo over 22.5 points plus rebounds along with Arizona to get the win and the cover. Let's move on to the third game of the day, starting at 9:39 in the West region, and that's Alabama and North Carolina making the trip out west. And this is going to be an intriguing matchup, folks, because of the style here, right? The fact that Alabama is going to want to run, and really push this pace, right? And it'll be interesting here, folks, because Alabama's in the 98th percentile offensively, right? And they got dudes. They got dudes, and the way they can shoot it, folks, think about this. This team is the best shooting team spot up in the country, points per possession. Think about that. They knock down shots, and they play the game at a ferocious pace where they try and wear you down. So when you look at Alabama, you got to look at, obviously, their point guard. I mean, Mark Sears, unbelievable. I mean, what he's done, elevating his game from last year to this year, 12.5 to 21.5, obviously losing guys like Brandon Miller, Javon Quinterly. Really, Mark Sears has really stepped up for Coach Nate Oates and has done a fantastic job of being one of the best players in the country at 21.5 points per game. But you also got to look at the kid Estrada, the transfer out of, he is out of Hofstra, if I'm not mistaken, Estrada. Fantastic guard, 13.3 points per game this year. Remember, folks, Estrada got you 20.2 points per game at Hofstra last year and 18.5 the year before. Now, he does not shoot it well from three, but he is a high-volume scorer, and Aaron Estrada and Mark Sears is as good of a backcourt you're going to see in this tournament. Then you got to look at the big man in the middle, Grant Nelson, getting you 11.4, 5.4 rebounds. He is the key to this matchup. Right? Why? Well, let's go look at the other side. And let's look at the UNC Tar Heels under Hubert Davis at 29-7, who is playing some of the best basketball they've played all year. Right? I know they lost to NC State. I know. But before that, you know, I think they won about 8 or 9 games in a row before that loss to NC State. And they turned around after that loss, and it would be Wagner 90-62. And then a Michigan State team that jumped them was up, I think, 26-14, and they pummeled them, and they beat them 85-69. Why is that? Before I go to the big man that Grant Nelson's got a matchup with, it's been the play of R.J. Davis, giving you a 21.3 points per game, 3.6 assists, 3.4 rebounds, 3.4 assists, shooting at a 41.1% from three, right? And then there's the big man, Armando Bacot. 14.4, 10.2, 54% from the floor, 78% from the line. Big fella knocking down your free throws. But to me, this is where the game is going to be won by Carolina. It is these two guys. First off, Harrison Ingram, getting you 12.2 points per game, shooting it at 38.7% from three. And then the transfer from Notre Dame, Cormac Ryan. Only shooting at 34.3% from three at 11.3 points per game. But you got to remember, folks, 2 years ago, he shot it at almost 41%. So when you look at this game, you got to look at this, right? It's going to be a lot of possessions. And a team like Alabama, as good as they are offensively, folks, they're in a 28th percentile defensively. They struggle to get stops. So where's the value? We're like, where can you go find something here? To me, folks, it's the three-point market, okay? Harrison Ingram to make 2+3s is minus 122. Cormac Ryan to make 3+3s is plus 152. If I am Nate Oates, I am trying to do whatever I can to get the ball out of their stars' hands. I don't want RJ Davis to come off of that pick and roll and dominate me. I don't want Armando Bacot to eat up Grant Nelson inside. I got to look at how can I guard their best and try to make other people beat us. And that means the three-point line could be where it's at. Now, this is also a team that defends the three at the 90th percentile, Alabama. They want three-point attempts because they want long rebounds and they want runouts. But to me, more than anything, spot up. They're in the 8th percentile defending. That is where the game's going to be lost. So Harrison Ingram, 2+3s, minus 122. Cormac Ryan, 3+3s, plus 152. Those would be the two plays I would be looking at in Alabama, North Carolina. Let's move on to the last matchup in the heavyweight matchup of the night, Illinois, Iowa State. Folks, I have notes of a coach, I'm putting them away. This is all about what team wants it more. And these two coaches have done such an amazing job, both Brad and TJ, and what they've done respectively. Now, when you came into the NCAA tournament, your concern with Illinois was, could they get stops, right? And Iowa State's problem was, well, could they score enough? So when you go ahead and you look at the way that they have played Illinois, right? They have been scoring like reckless abandonment for a while, right? Why is that? Terrence Shannon Jr., throw away all the stuff off the court. The guy's a bucket getter. He's getting 23.3 points per game, shooting at 48%, 36% from three. And he's been absolutely fantastic in this tournament, going for 30 and for 26. And then think about the three games before that. Big Ten tournament final, 34 points. The game versus Nebraska, 40 points. Big Ten quarterfinal, 28 points. Guy scored over 100 points in three games. The guy's scoring about 25 points a game, I think, since the beginning of February. And he's been as good as any player in the country. And it will be a load to deal with for TJ and his troops. But to me, Marcus Damask, I have become a huge fan of this kid. 16.1 points per game, 5 rebounds, 4 assists, had a triple-double in the game versus Morehead State, 22.7 assists versus Duquesne. Really playing such great basketball and is the perfect complement in the backcourt to Shannon Jr. But to me, also, this kid, Coleman Hawkins, he is such a fascinating player at his long frame as a stretch forward, 6'10", because of his ability to knock down threes. 37.8% from three, 80% from the foul line, and does hit some big shots. Doesn't score a ton, but he's that matchup nightmare that can get going. And then obviously, Guerriere, the monster in the middle. 9.8 points, 6.2 rebounds, junkyard dog, does a little bit of everything. This is going to be a load for TJ and his staff, right? Because they grind your gears defensively. You can't talk enough about what Brandon would have done. You know what I thought was the coolest moment of this tournament? Is after the last game, Brandon Underwood came in with the super soaker and the goggles, and he started spraying his kids before they started spraying him. That's a guy that's got his team that believes in him. And I don't think people understand when you have a coach like Brad Underwood that is like that with you, that will get in your face like Huggy Bear did, but could hug you and love you and correct you and make you a better version of yourself. Brad Underwood, say what you want about the Shannon Jr. situation. This guy's a hell of a coach. He paid his dues, and he's doing a great job in Illinois. And Brad Underwood is one of the 5 best coaches in the country. I just said it. He's done a fantastic job in Champaign, right? And he's made the mark moving his way up from Stephen F. Austin to Oklahoma State to Illinois. Put some respect on Brad Underwood's name. Fantastic, fantastic coach. I could watch him play all day how rugged his team is. Especially now that I feel like they're playing better defensively. But when you go to Iowa State, this is a team that beats you with the sum of their parts, right? 7 guys are getting you 6.2 points a game or more, and no one's getting you more than 13.7. Led by Keyshawn Gilbert, the 6'4 guard out of St. Louis, getting you about 13.7 points per game, shoots at 34.3, 73% from the foul line, right? And then you keep going, and you keep going to Lipsy, getting you 12.5 points per game, 4.6 rebounds, 4.9 assists. 2 guys averaging almost 5 assists a game, right? And then you got the big man. Now I'm going to try and pronounce his name because I'll mess it up. Okay? Milakovic, I'm going to try it. I probably messed it up. Sorry. But I like this kid's game. It's kind of got like an old-school European game. Step backs, really good. Can stroke it from 3 at 6'8", 36.1%, 11.2 points per game. I find this matchup to be intriguing and my favorite matchup of Thursday night. Going into this tournament, I had this game as my Sweet 16 game, and I had Illinois coming out. I think Brad Underwood's got his defense figured out, and they're playing high-level defense. And I still think Iowa State could run into problems sometimes offensively. And to me, the two best offensive players in this game both play for the Fighting Illini. Give me Illinois on the money line. Let's move on to Friday's action. Leading off with the first game on Friday night. And that's going to be NC State versus Marquette. Oh, boy. You know what I'm talking about. Go, DJ. And that's my DJ. But they got two of them. And let's start with DJ Horn, who's done a great job in this magical run for NC State, getting you 16.7 points per game. I know he's not scored the way he had scored a little bit earlier, but I still look at that 29-point performance before he fouled out versus UNC. And DJ Horn was absolutely fantastic. This kid shoots it from 40% from three, right? He's got almost a 2-to-1 assist-to-turnover ratio, 1.5 assist-to-turnover ratio. Makes his free throws at about 81.5%. DJ Horn, it's been fantastic. But, folks, come on now. You know I coach bigs. Who am I going with? Who's my guy? DJ Burns, a.k.a. Big Thickum, a.k.a. Thicky Smalls, a.k.a. Thick Van Exel, a.k.a. Thicker Than a Snicker, a.k.a. Big Man, Big Body, Bully Ball, Great Footwork. And that's what I love about DJ Burns. His footwork is phenomenal, folks. If when you think about post play, right, you can talk about Zach Edey, you can talk about Hunter Dickinson, you can talk about all the other guys. Folks, DJ Burns could have the best low post footwork in the country. Folks, he's only 6'9", and at 275 pounds, by the way, DJ, come on, man. You're 275, son? Come on now. Come on now. You're going to play everybody. You 275, I'm 205. You feel me? But that's okay. Because I love the how you ball, son. I love to watch you play and how you get busy in the low post. You are a joy to watch. That the most disappointing thing that I'm going to come out of this tournament is that I did not watch you enough earlier and I didn't show appreciation for you earlier this year. Because y'all weren't supposed to be here, but you are. Shout out to DJ Burns, my favorite player, college basketball. Last four games, 24-11, 16 points, 24-7 assists, and a 19-5. Shout out to Big Thickum, a.k.a. Thicky Smalls, a.k.a. Thick Van Exel, a.k.a. Thicker Than a Snicker, DJ Burns Jr. But they got a tall test, folks. They got a tall test versus the Marquette Golden Eagles. And the job that Shaka Smart has done with this team and this program has been phenomenal. You think about the Shaka Smart, I used to spend a lot of time down in Richmond. And I've been down to practices when he was at VCU, and I always loved Shaka's energy. And I kind of felt like when Shaka got to Texas, he wasn't him. Like, on the sidelines. I know people get upset. He's on the floor. He's talking. Nah, I like that. That's the way I was as a coach. Active, talking, communicating. Shaka is now the Shaka Smart that I knew at VCU. And he's got a phenomenal team. Led by the All-American Tyler Kolick. Who in the last game, anytime they needed a big play, he got it done. Versus Colorado, playing all 40 minutes. 21 points, 11 assists, 5 rebounds, right? Now, he turned the ball over a little bit too much for me, but I think that's – you can look at the fact that we did the in-game live, Scott Farrell and Kevin Walsh and I, and Nicodaro, like, probably dropped four of those passes. So out of those 6 assists, I don't even think they were really his. But Tyler Kolick, and you can pull up that graphic, Matt, I love how he gets to the basket. He kind of has that extension layup that he really gets the ball outside as he gets it up to the rim. Kind of reminds me, shout out to Kevin Walsh. I want to give Kevin his flowers with this. He said this before anybody. Got a little bit of Steve Nash to his game. His creativity with the passing, his around the basket, and his ability to get guys involved. What a player. But let's move on to their leading scorer, and that's Cam Jones. Someone that I think is going to be able to play at the next level. Getting your 17.1 points per game, shooting at 50-40. 50.3% from the floor, 41.4% from three. And in the Colorado game, before he got in foul trouble, 18 points, and the majority of those came in the first half. 28 the game before versus Western Kentucky. Cam Jones has been absolutely fantastic. The key to this game is the big man, Iguodaro, the 6'11 center, getting you 13.6, 6.8. I thought he struggled even though he made 83.3% of his shots. They said he had one turnover against Colorado. I watched that game. He had more than one turnover, right? Because he had a couple of them balls go right off his chest. Big man got to catch the ball, and he's got to be a load to deal with for DJ Burns. He can take you outside off the bounce, so I think that's where they may try to do. And then you got to talk about David Joplin. Shout out to Steve Wojciechowski. Didn't offer this kid, supposedly. He right in your backyard. Right in your backyard, you don't offer this kid. Shaka went and got him. 11 points per game. 37% from three. Junkyard dog. Does it all. Double figures. Last five games, I do believe he's been in double figures. Great job by David. So with this matchup, I love what NC State has done. But I can't go against Marquette, a Marquette team that now I see Kyler Kolick is healthy. I think they are on a march, and they could get to the Final Four, and it'll be an intriguing match versus a winner of the next game in Dallas. Give me Marquette minus the points. Next up, heavyweight matchup between Gonzaga and Purdue, with Purdue being a 5.5-point favorite. And when you talk about this matchup, you got to talk about the fact that we had been selling Mark Few's team short far too long this season. 27-7, finished second in the WCC. And I wasn't giving Mark and his team his props. But when they got to that point in the season, when they went to Kentucky and won it rough, and then they rolled at Loyola Marymount, beat Pacific by almost 30 points, beat Portland on the road by 27 points, but then the stretch of winning at home versus Santa Clara by 3, at San Francisco by 18, at St. Mary's by 13, and beating San Francisco again by 12 before losing in the WCC final, I saw all I needed to see out of that team. And folks, they could have the best backcourt in the tournament in Hickman and Nembhard. They could have the best backcourt. So starting with Hickman, getting you 13.9 points per game, shooting at a 41.8% from three. This kid can flat out fill it up. But then you go to Ryan Nembhard. Transfer out of Creighton. 12.6 points per game. 6.9 assists. 2.3 turnovers. 3-1 assist to turnovers. 3-1. That is something as a coach you need out of your floor general. But there's a big man in the middle named Graham Ike, 16.4, 7.3, can bring you outside, athletic off the bounce. And this is going to be the key, folks. They're going to get Purdue in pick and roll situations because of the fact of the way they play the pick and roll. They're going to play drop coverage. So Nembhard is going to be coming off of that screen ready to absolutely boogie. And they're in the 90th percentile in the pick and roll offensively. But then you go to the other side. Big Zach Edey. What can you say? Going to be defending a two-time player of the year. The most dominating force I've seen in college basketball probably since Shaq. You're going to go further back. probably since, I would say, Ralph Sampson, Patrick Ewing. That's how dominant he is. Lopez. I'm not talking about AD. Like, I'm talking about, like, inside. Absolute monster. But that's not the key. To me, it's going to be their guard play. And it's led by this guy, Braden Smith. Braden Smith that's gotten better this year. But they need him to really step up. And there's been times when Smith has been an absolute stone cold killer, Braden Smith. Look at that 29-point game I think he had versus, I think it was Alabama. But to me, folks, here's my concern with Smith. Last four games, 5 points, 11 points, 7 points, 5 points. And he's not shooting it well. 28.6% versus Utah State, 40% versus Grambling, 30% versus Wisconsin, 28.6% versus Michigan State. Braden's got to be better. Also, has got to be better is this man, Lance Jones, who getting you 12 points a game, you know, did get you 9 points, four rebounds, three assists. I mean, four assists, three rebounds. Game before that, 6 points. Wisconsin game, they lost in the Big Ten final, 9 points. He's got to be better. He's shooting at about 35.8% three. He's got to be good from the three-point line because that's going to be a struggle for them. And then you got to look at the last two guys, right? Obviously, you got to look at Fletcher Lawyer, the 6'4 guard, who started to get going a little bit, 15 points in his last game versus Utah State. Really hit some big shots. As they kind of blew that game open, it was good to kind of get him going. And then there's the big guy off the bench, Mason Gillis, big man, I would just say a stretch four, coming off the bench at 6.8 points per game, 3.9 rebounds. Needs to shoot the ball from three. There is one other guy, Hasten Hole, okay? And that's Trey Kaufman Wren, who was really, really, really good. He only gets you at 6.6 points per game. Last three games, 18, 11, and 9. Really good performance here. When I look at this game, these are two of the best teams playing as well as anybody in the country. I'm going to take a chance. I'm going to take the points. I'm going to go Gonzaga. I think Mark Few is as good as there is. I think he finds a way to keep this close. Let's move on. Heavyweight matchup of the night. I shouldn't say of the night because it's three of them, right? You can just say Gonzaga, pretty heavyweight matchup. Duke, Houston, buckle up. Because, folks, the Duke Blue Devils are playing as well as they've played, folks. And when you look at this team, right, it's obviously led by Flip, right? Kyle Filipowski getting you at 16.6 points per game, 8.2 rebounds, 2.9 assists, shooting over 50% from the floor. But folks, when I look at this team, what has impressed me the most are the three guards as of late. Let's start with McCain, who's playing himself to possibly being a lottery pick in the NBA draft. 14 points, 5 rebounds, and his 30-point performance, which was absolutely fantastic. I do believe he broke the Duke record for most threes made in a NCAA tournament game with 8. Was absolutely fantastic and hit shot after shot after shot after shot. And then you got to look at the leader of the team, Jeremy Roach, senior at Elysburg, Virginia, at 14 points per game, shooting at 43.8% from three, 85% from the foul line, right? Almost 2.5 to 1, almost 3 to 1 assist to turnover ratio. And then obviously the third of that three guard lineup is Proctor, Tyrese Proctor, getting you 10.9 points per game, shooting at 36.5% from three. They had a lot of open shots, guys, in that game versus JMU. You think that's happening versus Houston? You think that's happening versus Houston? A Houston team that I think very pedestrian and poor in their matchup versus Mississippi State. I'm sorry, Texas A&M. A Houston team that showed their Achilles heel, folks, which is lack of depth and a propensity to foul. Four guys fouled out. Juwan Roberts limping all over the floor. They had a damn walk-on on the floor to end the game. Can't do that versus Duke. But they got guards, led by the transfer, LJ Cryer. 15.5 points per game, the transfer out of Baylor, who at times have had to absolutely huge games for this team. And then you got to go to Jamal Shedd, the leader. 13.2 points per game, 6.4 assists, 2.1 turnovers, 3-1 assist to turnover ratio. That's a number again. Emmanuel Sharp has gotten better and better. 12.8 points per game, 37% from three. And then you obviously have to look at the big man in Juwan Roberts, a.k.a. the Junkyard Dog, 9.4 points per game, 6.8 rebounds. And then Francis at center, 6 and 5.1. I think this is the point where everybody's going to jump off the train and jump on the Duke because of the way they're playing. But what I've seen from Houston is when they have a game where they don't play particularly well, they come back the next game and they bludgeon you to death. If their guards can stay out of foul trouble, the play is Houston minus 4.5. Their defense is far too scary. Duke is not going to get the look save they got versus JMU. And I get concerned sometimes, folks, as a coach, when you make a ton of shots, even though it's a couple of days later, how many of those shots you still got left that you were knocking down? Duke was getting wide open jumpers versus JMU. That is not going to happen in this matchup, folks. They shot 14 for 28 from three. Look at what Wade Taylor in the fourth did for Texas A&M in his first round matchup versus Nebraska. And then look what happened when he went up against Houston. They stay out of foul trouble. Give me Houston minus the points. Last game of the night, Creighton, Tennessee. This is going to be another fantastic matchup between two teams that I think, honestly, I think the winner of this game is going to go to the Final Four. I think they're going to take out the winner of Purdue, Gonzaga. And to me, when you look at this matchup, it's the experience of Creighton that is so intriguing. When you start with the three-time defending Big East Defensive Player of the Year and Ryan Kalkbrenner, the 7-1 monster, who I sometimes think doesn't play with enough of an edge, enough aggression. But still, folks, Ryan's an absolute stud. Getting you 17.4 points per game, 7.6 rebounds, 3.1 blocks. Shooting at a 71% from the line, 65.1% from the line. They got the shooter in Baylor Shireman, who gives you 18.3 points per game, 37.9 from the three-point line. You got to look at Alexander, the creator, the facilitator, the bucket getter. 17.7 points per game, 4.7 rebounds, 4.7 assists. And the key is Ashworth. 11 points per game, 4 assists. And at times, folks, he's the kid that hits big shot after big shot. Look at that performance when they beat UConn at home. And look at his performance, even though he struggled at times, 21 points in that win versus Oregon. A team that struggled in that game, Creighton, versus a team that struggled in their matchup when they escaped 62-58. And that's the Tennessee Volunteers, led by Rick Barnes, a coach that's trying to get over the hump. A coach that we've gone after for his performances in the tournament. Great job out of Rick Barnes. Get his team here. But his guy, man, Dalton Connect, a.k.a. Connect 3. 21.1 points per game. The best transfer in the country this year. Second best, Cam Spencer, UConn. And a Dalton Connect that couldn't connect, but still had big buckets versus Texas. 18 points, 9 rebounds. I do think went 4-for-4 down the line, down the stretch to seal that game. But I've also seen Dalton Connect drop 40 pieces on people. Dalton Connect is one of the best, most exciting players in this tournament because of his ability to take over a game. But they got other guys. Jonas Adu, the big man in the middle, getting you 12 points per game, coming off an 11-4-3-2 performance versus Texas. And then you got to look at the guard in Ziegler out of Long Island, 11.7 points per game. Shoots it at 35% from three. Struggled last game with only 6 points, 4 turnovers. Still got you 7 assists. This is a heavyweight matchup. Call me biased because I'm in the Big East. Give me the Creighton Blue Jays, +2.5. I think they win the game outright. And those are my 8 games in the NCAA tournament, round of 16. It's going to be a fantastic weekend of basketball as we march ourselves towards the Final Four. For all things sports gambling, sports in general, folks, go download that SportsGrid app. Pre-game, in-game, post-game, props, predictions, and more from the very best in the sports gambling business. Also the home of my scouting report. Also the home where you can find this podcast and a lot of great content from a lot of great hosts, including Kevin Walsh and Ben Stevens, who I'll be working with this weekend. And obviously my co-host on the Betting Above the Rim show, my buddy Scott Farrell. For my producer, Matt George, it's been Coach Young. Shout out to Vinny for the graphics. Next episode, we'll review the games from this weekend. Remember, folks, it's smarter to be on Sports Grid. Good night.
Moro Casino. America's Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA. Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited. Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.